From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel. The late musician and composer Thelonious Monk was one of the giants of modern jazz, but his music was often dismissed by critics early in his career. Critical attention did finally come his way. It was accompanied, though, by rumors and myths that he was difficult, a recluse, and an untrained genius. As NPR's Walter Ray Watson reports, a new biography seeks to dispel some of those myths.
Biographer Robin Kelly wants to clear the air about Thelonious Monk.
His story challenges a very tired idea of the tortured artist committed to making an art by any means necessary.
Kelly teaches history and American studies at the University of Southern California. He says Monk wanted people to enjoy his music and buy it.
He was someone who thought of music as a vocation to keep his family afloat, his wife Nellie, his two kids. And so he took his work seriously.
Kelly says that Monk was not an isolated genius. He was connected to his New York City community. He played benefits for the social causes of the day, and his talent was not some mysterious God-given gift. Monk studied.
Well, I always did want to play piano. The first piano I saw, I tried to play it.
That's a rare Thelonious Monk interview from a public television show broadcast on New York's Channel 13 on June 22, 1963.
I learned how to read before I took lessons, watching my sister practice her lessons over her shoulder.
This is but one of Kelly's discoveries over the 14 years and 300 interviews he spent researching his book. Kelly learned that Monk may have started reading music when he was 10. By the time he was 11, he began studying with a classically trained pianist, Simon Wolfe.
The kinds of exercises he gave Thelonious came out of the books of Liszt, Chopin, Rachmaninoff. These were the composers Monk was drawn to.
Kelly also learned that Monk studied with Alberta Simmons, a stride pianist and contemporary of Fats Waller. He incorporated her teaching into his playing, too.
For me, he was a father first, and then he was this Thelonious Monk guy second.
That's drummer T.S. Monk, son of the famed musician. Despite his father's daily rehearsals and a constant parade of musicians through the apartment, including Charlie Parker, Miles Davis, and John Coltrane, in the most important ways, it was a fairly normal household, with a mom who worked a day job.
Be me, my father, my sister. He was changing diapers. There was no such thing as a pamper in those days, so these were funky diapers that you put in a bucket. And people don't think of Thelonious Monk as Mr. Mom, but I clearly watched Thelonious Monk do the Mr. Mom thing big time.
T.S. Monk helped biographer Robin Kelly gain access to the pianist's personal effects and to his widow, Nellie Monk. She had a central role in the musician's life and career, and she functioned to a great degree as his manager. She also gave her son permission to loan Kelly rare recordings that had not been heard outside the family.
These are gems, just incredible gems, particularly in this wonderful recording of him dealing with the song I'm Getting Sentimental Over You. You hear him first try to assimilate the song, understand its dimensions, and he's playing a passage over and over again. And it sounds like someone who doesn't know the song, though you know he does. And he works through it, and after about really 45 minutes of working through this, as if he's struggling, he suddenly gets his stride. He obtains a kind of mastery of the song. And if there's any lesson in those tapes, it's that it was hard for Monk to play Monk.
Robin Kelly says it may have also been hard for Monk to be Monk. He was known to drink heavily, to smoke marijuana, and he struggled with what was initially diagnosed and treated as manic depression. It took 2 decades before he got help for bipolar disorder. T.S. Monk remembers a cold New York day.
There was about 3 feet of snow already on the ground. And my father put on his slippers, his silk pajamas, his sealskin hat, period, and went walking down West End Avenue. And I knew that I had to put on all my winter stuff, and I had to follow him to make sure nothing happened to him.
Despite his challenges, Monk could also be wryly funny in his own way, as the rare public TV appearance illustrates. His interviewer is arranger Hall Overton.
Could you say something about your beliefs and your music and who you would like to reach with your music?
Well, I'd like to reach everybody, the public plus the musicians. I mean, that's a standard that I set for my songs, something that will get to the people's ear, plus no criticism from the musicians.
He reminds the audience that, yes, I have a technical mastery of what I want to do. But I also have humor, and the humor is actually in the music. Part of what I want to do is make you laugh, make you think differently.
To think differently, that's part of Kelly's intention for readers, but his motivation was to craft a portrait that both Thelonious Monk and his wife Nellie would have appreciated. Monk died in 1982, and his widow in 2002, before Kelly finished the book.
I think that if they can see the truth in their own lives, then I succeeded. And it's up to us to try to figure out and engage that truth.
In the 588 pages of Thelonious Monk, The Life and Times of an American Original, Robin Kelly gives us a lot to engage. Walter Ray Watson, NPR News.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.